Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Friday, July the 18th, Pope Leo speaks by phone with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following a strike yesterday by the Israeli army against Gaza's Catholic parish. Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, enters Gaza to visit the church community there. And fighting between separatist and government forces resumes in northern Somalia, threatening to worsen an already troubling humanitarian situation. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Yesterday, the Israeli army struck the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza, causing at least three deaths. Today, Pope Leo XIV and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke by phone, with the Pope reaffirming the urgent need to protect places of worship and achieve a ceasefire. Deborah Castellano-Lubov tells us more.
Amid the ongoing turmoil in the Holy Land, Pope Leo XIV and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke by phone on Friday. The Holy Father renewed his appeal for negotiations and a ceasefire in Gaza, according to the Holy See Press Office. This morning, in his residence at Castel Gandolfo, the press office said in a statement, His Holiness Pope Leo XIV spoke by phone with His Excellency Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, following yesterday's military attack by the Israeli army that struck the Church of the Holy Family in Gaza. That attack killed three people and injured others, including some seriously, noted the press office statement. During the conversation, it noted the Holy Father repeated his appeal for a renewed push for negotiations, a ceasefire, and an end to the war. Moreover, it added Pope Leo again expressed his concern about the tragic humanitarian situation of the population in Gaza, whose children, elderly, and sick are paying an agonizing price. Finally, the Holy Father reiterated the urgent need to protect places of worship and especially the faithful and all people in Palestine and Israel. The Holy Family Church, the only Catholic church in Gaza, was struck by Israel on Thursday morning, resulting in three deaths and 10 injuries, including the parish priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli. In a statement, the Latin Patriarchate in Jerusalem appealed to leaders to raise their voices and to do all that is necessary in order to stop this tragedy, which is humanly and morally unjustified. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, this morning entered Gaza in order to visit the Holy Family Church. As Devon Watkins reports, Pope Leo XIV called the cardinal as he entered Gaza, stressing that it is time to stop the slaughter underway in the Strip.
Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, made a visit on Friday to the only Catholic parish in Gaza, along with the Greek Orthodox Patriarch Theophilus III. As they entered the enclave, Pope Leo XIV made a phone call to Patriarch Pizzaballa to express his closeness, care, prayer, support, and desire to do everything possible to achieve not only a ceasefire, but also an end to this tragedy.
Papa Leone ha ripetuto più volte che è ora di finire con...
Pope Leo repeatedly stated that it is time to stop this slaughter, the Patriarch told Vatican News, saying the Pope said what happened is unjustifiable and that we must ensure there are no more victims. Patriarch Pizzaballa said he thanked the Pope for his solidarity and the prayers he has already assured us of, while expressing the gratitude of the entire Catholic community of Gaza. A shell fired from an Israeli tank struck the Holy Family Church on Thursday, killing three people and wounding 10 others, including Father Gabriel Romanelli, the parish priest. On Thursday, Pope Leo XIV called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and expressed his profound hope for dialogue, reconciliation, and enduring peace in the region. Patriarchs Pizzaballa and Theophilus III made their visit to the parish on Friday to stand alongside those affected by recent events, according to the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem. They brought with them hundreds of tons of food aid, first aid kits, and medical equipment, which will benefit both the Christian community and other families in Gaza as well. The Patriarchate also secured the evacuation of people injured in the attack on the parish to medical institutions outside Gaza to receive care. Separately, the patriarchs and heads of churches in Jerusalem released a joint statement to express their solidarity with people sheltering in the Gaza Catholic parish. We denounce this crime, said the church leaders. Houses of worship are sacred spaces that should be kept safe. It is also an affront to human dignity. I'm Devin Watkins.
Across Gaza more broadly, at least 30 people have been killed in Israeli attacks in the last 24 hours, with the official death toll in the enclave now nearing 60,000 and spiraling attacks across the West Bank. The United Nations General Assembly has adopted a resolution calling on Israel to end its illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories within a year. Lina Bordoni has more.
Medics in Gaza struggling to respond to overwhelming casualties and needs in a decimated health system lament they are forced to decide on who to treat first, often leaving patients with life-threatening chronic conditions without care. They confirmed at least 30 deaths since dawn on Friday as Israeli armed forces pounded eastern Gaza City, northern Gaza, and a camp for displaced persons in the south of the enclave. The victims include 7 people who were desperately seeking aid. Amongst the injured were many children whose wounds were reportedly compatible with drone missile attacks that witnesses say are packed with nails, metals and shrapnel that explode at high speed and target people in large crowds in markets or queuing for water. Meanwhile, in a move hailed by the Palestinian Authority as historic, the United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly adopted a resolution calling on Israel to end its illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories within a year. The Assembly also called on Israel to make reparations to Palestinians for damages incurred by the occupation. The resolution comes in the wake of a court ruling in July by the International Court of Justice, which found that Israel is abusing its status as an occupying power and that Israeli settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem are illegal. But even its ruling ordering Israel to take steps to prevent genocide in Gaza and allow adequate humanitarian aid into the territory appears to have fallen on deaf ears. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And in neighbouring Syria, renewed clashes have broken out between Druze armed groups and members of Bedouin clans. And government forces are preparing to deploy again to the area. This comes after Syrian government troops pulled out under a ceasefire agreement that halted several days of violence earlier this week. Government security forces are said to have agreed with some Druze factions that they will now re-enter the area to impose stability and protect state institutions. Fighting between separatist and government forces has resumed in the district of Daha in Somalia. The already difficult humanitarian situation in the country has been further aggravated by the presence of the Al-Shabaab terrorist group, as Christopher Wells reports.
A new wave of violence rocked the Somali region of Puntland at the beginning of the week, where at least 8 people were killed and another 24 wounded in fighting between pro-government and separatist militias. Oil-rich Puntland declared its autonomy in 1998, and since then the region has had tense relations with central government in Mogadishu. The fighting broke out in the Dahar district of Puntland, about 260 kilometers from the regional capital. Somalia is plagued by a large number of internal conflicts related to control of the country's economic and natural resources. In 2024, following a dispute over Somali constitutional changes, Puntland declared that it would act as an independent state. The aim of the local authorities was to preserve their autonomy and political stability, which were threatened by the reforms imposed by the central government. Even the presence of various peacekeeping missions promoted by the United Nations and the African Union has failed to guarantee a minimum of stability in recent years. Recently, near the towns of Sibid and Enole in the Lower Shabelle region, a suicide bomber attacked a convoy of Ugandan peacekeepers from the African Union mission in Somalia. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack, confirming the killing of 20 Ugandan soldiers and the wounding of at least 43 others. It's the second attack in recent weeks against Ugandan forces in the Sibid and Enole area, southwest of the capital of Mogadishu. Last month, similar suicide bombing in the same area killed more than a dozen Ugandan soldiers and wounded several others. Decades of conflict and insecurity, political tensions, clan domination, and climate change have caused an unprecedented humanitarian crisis in Somalia. In 2023 alone, 2.9 million internally displaced persons were recorded. Now, in 2025, the United Nations reports that nearly 4.4 million people could face increasing levels of food insecurity. I'm Christopher Wells.
Papua New Guinea has just become the first small island state in the world and only the second country in Asia and the Pacific to receive a results-based payment from the United Nations for its work in halting deforestation. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Kelsey Gussie, Serena Fortuna, the senior forestry officer at the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, explained what this reducing emissions from deforestation payment is and how Papua New Guinea's mission to protect the planet ties into Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si.
Papua New Guinea has been working hard on maintaining their forest for centuries, and especially in the last decade, and managed to demonstrate to the Green Climate Fund, which is this international fund launched by the United Nations to support also countries having the appropriate finance to progress on this domain. They managed to demonstrate their reduction of 17 million tons of CO2 equivalent. If you think it about some concrete kind of a figure, you could think about 85 billion miles driving of gasoline cars, which is among us, but it's very large. And those were kind of emissions avoided in the years 2014, 2016, since long time back. But Papua New Guinea also had to demonstrate that after that period, they continued efforts in maintaining the forest and therefore also continued generated new emission reductions with also positive impact on social and environmental benefit in the country. Today, we're reflecting a little bit on the fact of how the full engagement and the investment of these funds into capacity strengthening of local communities and indigenous people also resonates and aligns very well with what Pope Francis was calling for in the encyclical Laudato Si on climate change and environment. That comes as a strong moral voice to the need to act in the conservation of our natural resources, protecting and caring for the earth as our common home. We have only this one, but also and especially the need to care and support local communities, those that are in need. So it's also encouraging to see a bit of a convergence when we look at the calls that comes out from different faiths and that are combined jointly, for example, in the interfaith statement on climate, faith and hope for a common future.
That was Serena Fortuna, the senior forestry officer at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, speaking there to Kelsey Gussie about Papua New Guinea's mission to protect the planet against deforestation. Pope Francis visited Papua New Guinea in September 2024 as part of a four-country visit across South Asia and Oceania. His visit included a large public mass in Port Moresby, the nation's capital, a meeting with political and religious leaders, and a trip to the remote town of Vanimo to meet with missionaries. Climate change was a major topic of the visit, as was the need for peace. Papua New Guinea suffers from high levels of violence, particularly in rural tribal areas. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va, particularly if you want to follow the developing stories around Israel's attack on the Catholic community in Gaza. We have interviews with various people on the ground there, also with Patriarch Pizzaballa. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.